In all things give thanks, which is praise the Lord.
Amen.
God knows, right?
Amen.
Does he?
Yep. Sure does.
God knows.
Amen.
And I trust what he knows.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The missionary boxes and offerings, that's what it's going to. We have a couple of different things that we support. I guess you'd call it an orphanage in India, and a Bible school to actually promote pastors in Africa. And a little bit of money goes a long ways there. So don't think that what you do is insignificant. It can touch people for a long time, for what just a little bit of change out of your pocket. And we're both of the heads of the ministries that we support were here, what is it, last month?
Yeah.
And as always, impressed with their work, we continue to support them.
Amen.
All righty. We used to do alabaster boxes in the Nazarene Church, and I don't want to sit here and waste a Sunday or two to describe to you what an alabaster box is. Just fill that box and we'll give it to the missionary. That's enough, right? All right. Alabaster boxes. You had to have a certain box. You had to look a certain way. Anyway, let's hear from God this morning. Amen? Well, Father, you heard the amen of your people. That means they're hungry and they thirst after you. So let them hear from you this morning. They need you.
Yes.
I need you.
Yes.
We love you, Lord. We trust whatever you say this morning to be the truth and the only way. For that, if we know that you're going to be here and change us, we give you thanks and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody that agrees says amen.
Amen.
All right. I don't have a long word for you this morning, I don't believe. Now, if I lie, I didn't mean to. But I can tell you it's 2 pages, and I never do 2 pages. So it's always 6 or 4 or 5. So anyway, we're filling children's church right now.
Remember when you didn't use your notes when it was an hour and a half?
But that's what notes are for. By the way, you know what notes are for preachers?
Yeah.
They're so you'll know where the end is. That's what it's for. It keeps you from... Let me tell you what notes are, in case any of you ever decide to teach or even take notes. They're to keep you on track. They're to make sure that you said what you're supposed to say and keep you from saying so many things that you're not supposed to say. And also, to keep you from saying the same old thing over and over and over and over and over. Also, most importantly, so you'll know when to say the end. That's what it's for. I don't need these notes. He just got through saying, if I shut the notes, I'll go an hour and a half. By the way, I think I did that last week with the notes, didn't I?
Yeah.
Nah, I didn't either. What, 62 minutes?
92 minutes.
Ooh. Well, maybe that's why it's shorter this week. All righty. I've got a question for you as a title. The title of the message is it good and is it finished? Is it good and is it finished?
Amen.
One of the things that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt in our lives is that we are always seeking for God's blessing. If we're not, there's something wrong with us, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we take that to the point where we walk insecure. We're afraid we're going to make the wrong decision, and that's not what this is about. That's not what God wants for us. He wants us to be the most sure people on the face of the earth.
Yes.
And the minute we get saved, just the relationship that we have with our Savior Jesus should give us that feeling.
Amen.
That we're loved more than anybody else. Do you know when you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, everybody in here should feel like they're loved more than anybody else?
Amen.
Amen.
Even though you know that's not true, that's the feeling you have.
Amen.
Right? It doesn't give you a special feeling, like I'm better than you.
Right.
That's not what it's about. But that thing that you enjoy, that intimacy you enjoy with God, is supposed to give you the courage and the ability to withstand all attacks.
Amen.
Amen.
And to do that, you must know that God's on your side.
Amen.
Amen? Now, that's a little bit different direction, but I want to first say that. Then I'm going to say this. As we go about our lives, we want to make decisions, and we have to, about future. Right?
Right.
I mean, a floating Christian is just like any floaty found anywhere. It's really not worth a lot. anyway, it's really not. You don't need to be a floating Christian. You need to be one that's on an directive, on an order, on a quest set by God Himself.
Amen.
About the future, or about your work, or about your play, or about anything that there is affecting your life. Everything that you live and move and have your being is supposed to be ordered by God.
Right.
Yeah.
Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the safe zone. That's the place where we want to be. That's where we can use God's Word effectively. Do we really know what God wants out of us? That's a question that I want to deal with this morning. It's not going to be complicated. Do we really know what God wants out of us? Are we sure that it's good? When do we know that it is a finished work? Did you know God does some finished work in your life?
Right.
You know what that's about? That means He's done with this and we need to move on.
Amen.
Paul one time said, let's don't go back to those old things. Let's keep moving.
Amen.
That's Stan's version. Do you know that there's places where we can rest? It's mandatory. It's mandatory in our life that we enter into the rest of God.
Yes.
When is that? Well, let's study a little bit and see. I want us to see this morning that what we want or what we think is good may not be the answer. We were talking about a diet thing yesterday morning at a group of people at a table. And somebody's response was, well, but that's not what he wants. I don't care what you want. I don't care what I want. You know why most of us are a few pounds overweight or a few moments lazy in the bed or not accomplishing the things we're supposed to do? Because we hold it up to what we want rather than what we need. God is not interested, I hate to say this, but He doesn't spend all of His waking hours, which is all the time, thinking about what we want and answering His responses according to what we have said to Him. He first speaks, we say, that's what I want, not, here's what I want, and expect Him to say, okay. Come on.
Now,
don't make me get nosy here, because I've had a fight with some of you when all you want to do is tell me what you want. When I've told you over and over, I don't care what you want. I'm not here to give you what you want. I'm here to talk to you about what God wants.
Amen.
Don't mean to be mean or rude, but that's what I want in my life. I want not my answer, but I want God's answer.
Yes.
And I want to be very cautious, not scared, but cautious that I'm doing what God wants me to do.
Amen.
Now, if you'll turn with me to Genesis 1. Do you know Genesis is always a good place to begin?
That's right.
You can't argue with that one, bud. I'm going to give you a key to life here. Another one. We all know that the key to life is God, right?
Amen.
Okay. Genesis 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good.
Amen.
And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 2, verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. Now we got good and finished. When was it finished? When He said it's good.
Right.
And all the host of them, everything that was there. Second verse. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He had rested from all of His work, which God created and made, and it was good, and it was finished. Right?
Yes.
I'm going to ask you something. You'll just be quick to tell me that you're created in God's likeness and image, and that God guides your feet, and that you're saved, and you're on your way to heaven, and you just get all kinds of good testimonies to me. But when is the last time you said to me, or you said to yourself, that's good, and I don't need to do any more? When's the last time you did that? Watch it. I'm setting traps. When's the last time you did it? How come you're not amening or oh me-ing or something? When is the last time you did something And you looked at it and said, that's good. Now I don't have to do anymore.
It's not that I've never done anymore. I have to do anymore, but whatever I accomplished is good.
See, in most Christians' life, they're so afraid or so fearful that God didn't order their steps that they're afraid to say, it's good. Even though you say you're in the likeness and image of God, which he said, that's good. I'm finished. I'm going to rest in that work that I did.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean he rests totally. It means that he doesn't have to do that again.
Amen.
Now, do you know how much simpler our life would be, or even better yet to say, do you know how much more we could move on with our life if we could draw a line, say, on this moment, I'm going to enter into the Sabbath rest of God by saying it's good and it's finished and I don't have to work on it anymore. Well, in what application? Every application. If I would move on a word from God, do it, say it's good, it's finished, I'm going to get the next word.
Amen.
Paul says, and don't go back to those basic things. What's a basic thing? The thing you've already got finished. It's established in your life. I was sharing with Bob back here this morning that when I really got serious about God quite a few years ago, and I was raised, church was the only thing we ever did. And God crammed it. I mean, my parents crammed it down my throat. Thank you, parents. Thank you, parents. They put some regimen, they put some discipline and some knowledge and some wisdom in my life. Even if I didn't want it, I received it, and now I know that was good for me. I'm not taking any condemnation. That was a good work. It's finished. Right? But what I learned was what everybody wanted me to learn. But all of that wasn't from God. And what God did when I really, really started seeking Him with all my heart was to tear all of that out and remodel. Because it wasn't a totally good work, so it could not be finished. You understand what I just said?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about a woman that changes wardrobes 4 or 5 times before they go to the party. That's not what I'm talking about. Even though it still applies. They're not going to go to that party until it's finished. And the husband is about to do her in and say, it was a good thing I did this. It's finished. Now God just, I told him, use this phrase. He gutted me and gilded me from all of that stuff. You know what that means? Gut and guilt? All right. From all of that stuff that I had learned, because it wasn't His creation.
Amen. Yeah.
He wanted to rest in a work He'd done in me so that I could rest in Him. When did it stop? It's not finished yet. But there are things in my life that are finished.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't have to go back and relearn again what God has taught me. And I'm not going to... We're not keeping you up, are we, Rebecca?
No,
okay. When God really explained to me about salvation, I'm not going to go try to relearn salvation again.
Right.
When I was approached with baptism of the Holy Spirit, and God explained that through His Word and through His presence, I'm not going to go buy books and try to work that out. I've already got the information. It's a work that's done, it's finished, it's good. No more research. We're going to have to draw some lines in our lives about how much more we're going to work on something that's already been done by God. You know who I am? Do you know who I am? See, I know who I am because God has told me who I am, and I'm not going to allow anybody else to change that good work.
Amen.
Now, if he wants to add to it, that's his business.
Amen.
But I'm not going to go backwards trying to go forwards. When somebody grabbed my face and tried to make me speak in tongues, and I didn't understand what was going on, I just said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're not God. Number one, I don't prove anything to you. And number two, you're not going to teach me something that it's supposed to be the Holy Spirit that's teaching me.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
The work was done. It's finished. When I said that in my spirit and then out loud, that work is finished. What work is finished? Establish that I trust God to teach and to do. That's a work that's done, finished, doesn't need to be done again.
Yeah.
Well, what about the speaking in tongues? None of your business. I turn that over to God. God knows. God's timing is perfect. Boom.
Yeah.
What do you believe now? We're not going there right now. Let's get some things that we understand, you understand. You've got it established in your life. Who you are, whose you are, what you're about.
Amen.
Establish it. Therefore, no wind of doctrine can ever change you.
Amen.
No earthquake, no lightning, storm, no nothing.
Amen.
A thief in the night doesn't make any difference. You know who you are, you know whose you are. Why? Because the work needs to be done. It's finished. If there's any question in your life, you go to the one that's doing the work. You question. See if he says it's good.
Amen.
Let me make a statement to you. God looked at this situation called earth. He said, I don't like the looks of it. It's without form and void. He didn't call a board meeting. He didn't have a vote. He just said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And once it was done, and if you'll read the first part of Genesis, it says, he did this, and it was good. He did this, and it was good. All I did is summarize it, or he did. He said, I've looked at all. I've had everything look at it. It's good. It's finished. If man would have been there to vote on that, he would have declared that there wasn't enough oil made, that their sun is burning up, that the mountain, the snow's melting, and the seas are rising. God, you didn't do it right. Not enough air, not enough oxygen, not enough ground, not enough water. That's what man would have said to God.
That's right.
Which is what man says to God on a daily basis.
Yes, that's right.
We still are doing that, and God has said, good, finished. Now, Stan, you're not trying to tell me that we're a finished work. No, I know you. You're not. But I know that the work that God has done in you is good and it's finished. We won't go back and try to change that again.
Amen.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
Well, what about all that crud that I committed and did and what, blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. The earth was without form and void when God began the change. Are you better? You must be worth something because he's working on you.
That's right.
Get that established if you can't get anything established. I am worth God's work.
Amen.
If I can get that established, it's good, it's finished. Then he can move on and I can move on. He rested. I wish every Christian could get this one down. He rested. How many of you think that you worry God?
No.
Many people, I really do believe in their heart that they think they worry God. That they think they get God up out of bed and make him put his house shoes on when they have a problem. God never sleeps, never slumbers.
Right.
You were the one sleeping and slumbering, that's why you have the problem. He was ever, ever seeing, ever knowing, ever caring, and still resting.
Right.
Are you in the image and likeness of God? You're not blind because you're resting? You're not dopey or dumb because you're resting? You're not lost in space because you're resting? Being instant in season, out of season, what we'd call God? Are you that? Can people wake you in the middle of the night with a problem and you don't have to say, wait a minute, do you know that I'm asleep? You know what time it is? We need from God sometimes what we want to do to others.
Yeah.
Teach us a little lesson.
Yeah.
I can tell you this. If there's an emergency situation in my life, you bring it to me or somebody else brings it to me, I'm ready because I'm good and I'm finished. How do we know that? Because you got the phone call. You're ready to get it.
Amen.
You wouldn't have gotten it. God knows you wouldn't have gotten the phone call if you weren't ready to handle it.
Right.
And now what you can do? You can rest in the fact that I know that I'm a good work and I'm finished.
Yeah.
Then I can do the work better.
Right. Yeah.
Now come on. Pastor Justice from Africa was here the other day. And he said, until I started getting ministry from America, we never knew what the word stress meant. It wasn't even on our vocabulary. And he was serious. We're the ones that make up the word stress and negate the rest of God.
Yeah, that's right.
So who does the best work? Those that are stressed or those that are at rest?
At rest.
Yeah.
So if we were really good God-like people, we'd be working hard, resting. Not working at resting. We're working while we're resting. Y'all looking at me crazy now. Did I say something strange?
We're trying to process that working while you're resting.
Well, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yes.
Amen.
What else do I need to say to you? If I have the joy of the Lord, do you think that I'm stressed?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think I'm actually doing a more efficient and better work in joy and peace?
Amen.
What's the evidence? Out of the abundance of my heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm not cussing and yelling and screaming and saying, oh, it's Monday.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Monday. Thank God it's Friday. Hey, thank God it's Monday.
Yeah.
He didn't have to give you Monday.
Right.
If we got what we deserved, we'd have ended Friday.
That's right.
Because that's all we can talk about. You know, I've never run into a bad day in God.
Amen.
Not one time. Not Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I mean, I'm resting in the fact that He's God. I'm in Him. If I'm not completed in the work to come, I will be, and it'll be good, and I'll be finished.
Amen.
And I won't have to go over that work again. We need to enter into His rest. He rested in all of His work which He created. Did He create you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And He rested in that work. How come you can't? How come we can't accept ourselves like He accepts us, His work? Because we're so afraid to tell anybody that I'm a work of God.
Uh-huh.
Past, present, future. I am a sheep of His hand. We sang that this morning. What does that mean? Well, you're going to have to be a farmer rancher to understand totally what that means. My grandmother would say to her kids, I'll kill you and make another one just like you. Do you know that God has that ability?
Yeah.
But you're still here. And I'm still here. That should encourage you.
Yeah.
All right? If you're a farmer or rancher, you get some old cold thing that's not going to produce, it's going to produce bad or whatever, you kill it and you breed another one to take its place.
Right.
You're the sheep of God's hand. Evidently, you're worth something. Move into that completed work. If God's resting in that completed work, you need to rest in that completed work.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of the next step that I take if I'm going to miss God. Because He's more worried about that, if there's any such thing about worrying God together. He's more concerned about that than I am.
Man.
That doesn't mean I'm not concerned about it. It just means His ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
He's busy. Whatever work we've done, it needs to be in praise and thanksgiving. Past work. Well, what about that crud that I did way back? I said whatever work that we've done, it needs to be with praise and thanksgiving. God's command to us is give thanks in all things.
That's right. Amen.
Does it not? Well, what about that sin? I think that I told you that God's Word says give thanks in all things.
Amen.
Well, what about this sickness that I'm still dealing with and believing for? I think that I told you that God's Word says in all things.
Amen.
The work is not completed when you say so. It's completed in Genesis when God said so.
Amen.
Our work is a good work when God says so. Well, let's change it just a little bit. One of the things that we miss is we don't ask God about our next step. And so many times we spend years out of step with God, hoping that He will correct our step rather than us going and getting in step with Him. Then we look for His approval, and He says, well, I didn't tell you to do that. Still love you. But what you're wanting is a blessing from God on a work that you did.
Yeah.
Well, how do I get around that? Well, you give thanks in all things.
Man.
Now, did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
Your work is your work. You don't have the ability to say it's good.
That's right.
If it's your work, you don't have the ability to say it's good and the blessing be on it. But if it's God's work, you have the ability to say, you're supposed to, you're required to say what God says, it's good and it's finished. Well, what about when you know it was a mistake? Wait a minute. Who told you it was a mistake? Well, it didn't turn out right. Who told you it's finished? You said the finish was in the failure. Did you know that's what we do?
Mm-hmm.
We want to declare it's finished before it's finished.
Yeah.
Well, how do you know when it's finished? When it's good. Well, how do you know when it's good? When you give God thanks in all things.
That's right.
See how we get, my dad would say, the cart before the horse? Mm-hmm. How do you know the end? Well, from the beginning, when you give God thanks in all things. Now you know the end. It's a good work and it's finished. You hear what I'm telling you? You're a seed that God is trying to pull a harvest out of.
Yes. Right.
The difference is, I used to plant a lot of seed. Truckloads of seed. Why did I plant the seed?
Get a harvest.
Because I knew the harvest was already in the seed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure. I didn't hope the harvest was in the seed.
That's right.
I knew the harvest was in the seed. Now, are you a seed?
Yes.
Did God plant you in wherever and whatever it is to do?
Yes.
Then a being higher than me has decided that there's a harvest in you, or he would never have planted the seed.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Come on, Gene. At least you can grieve with me once in a while. It's good for you. I never planted a seed that I didn't already prepare and expect for the harvest.
Yeah.
One of the other things that we get involved with, and I'm beginning to understand this when I listen to people talk to me. We think life is, let's make a deal. And the reason we get to thinking that way is because we haven't locked on to the deal yet.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can make a deal. God has already made the deal. You're a seed going for a harvest. That's the deal. You're the sheep of his hand. That's the deal. You're a servant, not a slave, but a servant.
Amen.
That's the deal. There's only one other deal. Hell.
That's right.
And I can't understand why so many people choose hell over a good deal.
Amen.
I don't understand that. But I'm doing everything I know to do to fight against it.
Amen.
It's not let's make a deal. Kids think it's let's make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
Parents say, thou shalt not. And so kids lay awake at night trying to figure out how to bamboozle their parents into thinking that they got what they wanted. Now, did you hear what I said?
Uh-huh.
You don't. Kids don't lay awake trying to disobey.
Right.
They lay awake trying to get around the deal. Trying to make the parents think they got what they wanted. And we think we can convince God that he got what he wanted by us making a deal. God is the one that never sleeps, never slumbers.
That's right.
He's the one that's omniscient and omnipresent. That means while you're thinking about it, he already knows your thoughts before you even thought about it. You're lost without hope.
That's right.
Dealing with God.
That's right.
I mean, he is hope. You got to go to him to get the deal and the hope and the joy and the rest and the peace.
Amen.
It's not. This is not complicated, guys. I really hope I'm not making it sound complicated. This is the Bible says, unless you understand and comprehend the things of the kingdom, like a little child, you will never enter into the kingdom. What does a little child do? A little child just accepts it.
Man.
You got to get a little older before you start making deals. Let's don't make a deal. Let's accept the deal.
Man.
It's a lot more profitable. Maybe the reason we spend time in turmoil is that we didn't go to God in the first place. Second place, we didn't believe God when he said, I can make the crooked way straight. This is not a final statement when I said, see, you don't have to believe that things are going to go bad because you didn't go to God in the first place. Because God says, I can make the crooked way straight. What is the drawback of trying to do it my way? Well, there's a hesitation in the good and finished.
Mm-hmm.
If you want a quick good and finished, you don't try to do it your way.
Right.
You just say, God. I shared with him again this morning that that one of the things I found out in the last month or two, since in the way I've been preaching, I've been hearing, it's affected me a lot. And one of the things, the simplest thing I've ever learned, is God knows. Well, you should have known that. Yeah, don't preach to me. I'll preach back at you. I'm learning something. God knows. That is not a scary statement. That was a statement of faith. When I've come to the end of myself, I say, God knows.
Amen.
Well, they're not paying. God knows. What am I saying? They're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even have to do anything.
Right.
Well, Stan, you got this problem. God knows.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You know what? You know what? When I really believe, now here's my heart to you. When I know that God knows, it's finished.
Amen.
But I have to convince me of that, because this lame brain wants to convince me that I'm smart enough to handle some of this.
Right.
Or, past teaching, you have to get up and do something or nothing will be done. Well, as soon as God says that, I know that's true. But first I have to say, God knows.
Amen.
Then he may tell me what to get up and do. But if I don't hear in my own spirit, by my own mouth, if necessary, that God knows, I'll get up and do something that God didn't initiate. Therefore, the work cannot end and be finished and good.
Amen.
Now, tell me if I'm confusing the issue here.
Good word.
Anyway. John 17. John chapter 17, verse 4. I want to tell you what a good work is. John chapter 17, verse 4. Jesus said this.
4 or 34?
I'm sorry. John chapter 17, verse 4.
Okay.
Jesus said this. I have glorified thee on the earth. What's a good work?
Glorifying God.
Well, I had to clean my trap under the sink the other day. How did that glorify God? Well, did you glorify God in that cleaning of the trap? Did you thank Him? Did you praise Him in all things? Because that establishes whether you're glorifying God or not. It isn't the work that glorifies God. It's you. You're the work.
Amen.
You're the work. And I don't care what it is you're doing, and I don't care how you're doing it, if you are glorifying God in all things, God is getting glory.
Amen.
Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What was the work that God gave Jesus to do?
Glorify God.
Live a perfect life. And die and be raised again.
I thought it was to glorify God.
That's right.
Which is what he just described. But you see, what we all, as humans, this is what we do. We try to glorify the work, which he said, a perfect life, which you and I will never do. Die on the cross, which Jesus says, no man takes my life, I give it.
Amen, right? Amen.
So he didn't die. We find, the evidence is, come on, the evidence is he did not die. They took him off the cross. They put him in a tomb and he was gone. That doesn't sound like a dead man to me.
Right.
So what he said is, I have basically come to the end of my... Now listen. If I were to tell you here this morning, God has told me that I've got to die tomorrow. What are you going to tell me? No, you're not. You're going to preach to me every faith scripture in the world. Aren't you? Even if I said, look, I've done what God wants me to do. God Himself told me that tomorrow at this time I'm gone. You're going to deny it.
Mm-hmm.
It's human nature.
Yep.
Why? Because we don't practice giving God glory in all things.
Amen.
Yeah. That's the truth.
And here Jesus, and by the way, Jesus' best friends didn't agree with Him either.
That's right.
So nothing's changed. I'm not trying to ridicule, because we fight the good fight of faith. That's the way you please God. But we need to have enough faith in God that He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. Now, John chapter 19, verse 30. I have finished the work You gave me to do. If Jesus can say it, can you say it? Now, you're not going to the cross for anybody, so relax. The next step is not that you die on the cross. The truth of the matter is, Jesus gave Himself on the cross before He ever said, the work is finished. That's the reason He could say, the work is finished. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus was not afraid of the cross Because in his own life, he had already accomplished the cross by faith, and he could say, it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
The work's done. All right. John chapter 19, verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Bowed his head, gave up the ghost. He had to give it up because it wasn't going to be taken by man. Come on. Was this a good work?
Yes.
By whose definition was this a good work?
God.
By God's definition. And Jesus accepted.
Yes.
Listen to me, Christian. This is the hardest thing you'll have to do in your life. Jesus accepted that the work that he did was good.
Yes.
He didn't sit there and say, if I could do it again, this is what I'd do.
That's right.
He didn't go back there to when he was a young teenage boy and talk back to his mom and dad and say, don't you know I was doing the work of my father? That was smart aleck talk.
Yeah.
You hearing me? For a little teenage boy back then, that was about as honor as you could get. That was not accepted in that society then. He didn't say, I wish I could go back there and redo that. He said, the work that you gave me to do, it's a good work and it's finished.
Amen.
Why? Because God can make the crooked way straight.
Right. Amen.
You don't have the right to dig up stuff that's already been cast as far as the east is from the west and live it again.
Amen. Amen.
You were never given that right. It was taken to you away from you by the Father Himself through Jesus Christ, your propitiation, your payment for your sin.
Amen.
Well, you see, I may commit a sin tomorrow. Well, the payment wasn't good enough for tomorrow. It was just good enough paid up to today, right?
Mm-mm, no. Nope.
Do you think that when you gave your heart to God, that He didn't know you might miss the mark a couple of times after that? Since He'd already seen your life before you ever lived it, do you think He already knew and covered that?
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
If you don't get what I'm saying here, you can't understand the rest of this. See, God knew that Jesus was going to talk back to His parents before Jesus ever came to the earth. And the statement we found in Genesis already applied to that moment in Jesus' life.
Amen. Amen.
Now, does it in you? Can you be bold enough in Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus, to believe that when the Father said in your life, it's good and it's finished, you can go ahead and accept it now.
Amen.
And tomorrow. And the next day, I want to jump a little bit right now. Come on.
Amen.
That's what gave Jesus the courage to go to the cross. Because He was there when God the Father said, that work is finished.
Amen.
So when He moved up to that work, He could say, repeat what the Father said. It's finished. And by the way, He also said it was good. Come on, a little boldness coming up in you. I hope it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to have a little boldness about that. This is not about Jesus. This is about you.
Amen.
This is about you. You know, Karen had a hard time telling the time. God knew all about that.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to make a couple of mistakes more. And there's going to be some of us goofies that call her on it. But see, the blood of Jesus has already covered it.
That's right. Amen.
Well, if it's still being worked on, how can it be finished? Because God's already seen the end.
Amen.
And we just need to accept His statement of the end of our lives.
Amen.
Jesus is the one that walked into the temple, turned tables over, and called them snakes and vipers. You and I, as good church members, say that could have been done a more righteous way. We are wrong because God approved before He ever did it.
That's right.
All right, let me. You're kind of having a hard time with this. Let me come at a different angle. Who do you think made you like you are?
God.
Do you think He's going to apologize for that?
No.
Then quit trying to make Him.
Amen.
You stop apologizing so He won't be embarrassed of your apology.
Amen.
I was talking to her this morning about the doctor saying you're totally colorblind. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't meet your expectations.
Huh.
By the way, who designed the test?
blind people.
I don't know, maybe. Did you ever think about that? Did you ever think that the wrong person designed the test and the people that don't match up to it, the right ones, don't fit their test? How about an IQ test? Who decided an IQ test? Somebody that thought they were very brilliant and tried to get you to compare to them.
Yep, that's right.
That's right.
And yet God said of me, you're who I want you to be. You're as smart as you need to be. You're more powerful than your enemy beside you that's attacking you, right?
Amen. That's right.
And I'm going to argue with God over a stinking IQ test or a colorblind test? I'm exactly. You're exactly who God made you, and you don't apologize to anybody.
Amen.
No one. Now, you and God may have to take up some arguments if you do something wrong, but you take it up with Him. Don't take it up with anybody else.
That's right.
Or He'll take it up with you if you don't.
Right.
Our work, our lives, our speech, our rest, our future, it is ordered by God. And if it is not ordered by God, we don't have a future.
That's right.
Well, we do, but I don't want to go there. I'm telling you, it's a future of...
That's the point.
It's a future of split-mindedness. You know, I stand up and testify, who am I in Christ Jesus, and then I go home and sob about who I'm not in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
That's who I'll be if I don't accept God's Word over my life. Genesis wasn't written to fill a history book. God spoke, and He said it's good and it's finished, and we have to start there.
Right.
That means you are a finished work before He knew you. He named you. Don't tell me He didn't decide to design you before He ever touched the earth.
Right.
I don't mean put foot there. I mean before He ever said to the earth, do you understand who He was designing earth for?
Man.
He designed it after He designed us. He said, I'm going to make these people. Now I've got to have a place to put them. And He made the earth and He said, it is finished and it is good. I don't have to kiss a tree to prove that. I got the Bible.
Amen.
He made it for me.
Yeah.
Who do I think I am when I start running me down? I'm actually attacking God's wisdom and His intelligence. Does it mean you can't get better? No, it means I need to get better. Why? Because I always want to please Him.
Amen.
I always want a relationship with Him.
Yeah.
But I don't have to work for it. Listen, let me say it this way. I am not working to achieve acceptance from God.
Amen.
How do you know that, Stan? Because I read it in Genesis. I saw it in Jesus' life. And the Bible says if I'm in Him, come on. My son called me in the middle of work here a couple of days ago. He said, Dad, I got to tell you something. I'm going, oh, Lord. Now, again, I know what God feels like. I've worried about this for months.
Years,
I think, is what it really meant. He said, I have a tattoo on my arm with my boys' names on it.
He's 29 years old.
Yeah, he's 29 years old, by the way. And he's calling me wanting to make sure he's not... He's accepted. Now, come on, let's look at this from different perspectives. Number one, how big an offense is it to have a tattoo on your arm that has your son's names on it? Come on, I'm asking you. Do I believe in tattoos? No. Why? Because when you get older, you're going to feel real foolish. It hasn't got anything to do with it. That's what I told him. I said, what's this got to do with sin? Where'd you get that? Well, I know Grandpa would be turning... Well, you don't live up to Grandpa's standards. I don't even like some of Grandpa's standards. I don't know where he got them. That's some of the stuff that I had to unlearn.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. It's a temple of the Holy Spirit. So what is it? What do we do? A preacher takes that because he doesn't like tattoos and he tries to send you to hell over it. When God says you're finished work, you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Jason, I'm going to ask you something. When your two boys get a little older and they get a tattoo of their dad's name on it, are you going to try to send them to hell? Well, of course not. Here's what he said. It would take a whole lot more than that I said, what are you, special? What are you, special? You think that I'm a lesser man than you? You see, it's dangerous to call me because I got an ability to usually turn it back. But in the whole time, God is saying, Stan, are you listening? Are you listening to what I have to put up with? Are you listening to how you judge me and people judge me? See, most of us in here don't have a real rampant problem with sin. What we have a problem with is accepting who we are in God.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Sin removes you from where you should be with God. Just understand that. It doesn't permanently remove you if you want back, but it does move you from it is finished, it is good.
Yes.
Temporarily. And I would like to say something to you, but I don't want to confuse you. I'm not going to do that. Just remember this. If your heart is after God, that's what He's looking at.
That's right. That's right.
That's what He's looking at. Now, let me ask you something. My son calls me and said, oh, please, Dad, I don't want to lose a relationship with you. Are you going to say, well, you just did? Are you going to hear the heart?
I'm going to hear the heart.
And see, your hearing is greatly limited compared to God's.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
He sees the heart. He knows the heart.
Yeah.
He knew before you ever said anything. He was just waiting for the phone call. I wasn't even waiting for the phone call. I got it and I appreciate it. I praise God in all things.
Amen.
I do. I said, what impresses me is the same thing that impresses God. Your heart. Don't send him this tape. No, it's a good... I don't care if he hears it. I'm still the dad. Remember, this is God's attitude too. You understand this is still God's attitude?
Yeah.
I really don't care what they thought. I'm still God.
That's right.
That's right.
How come I can easily say, I'm still the dad. How do you know that? He's 29 years old and he's calling me.
That's right.
Come on. This is the order of God. It is good and it is finished.
Amen.
When can we rest in God? When we know that it's finished in our lives. I'll tell you this. When the blood of Jesus has been applied to every word, every thought, and every deed, God says, it's finished. I didn't say when everyone was perfect.
That's right.
Did I? I'm not dumb enough to say that because you'd probably bring it back up in my face. I know you would. You should. When the blood of Jesus has been applied to every word, thought, and deed, God says, you're a good work and it's finished.
Amen.
Not when perfection appears, when the blood of Jesus appears.
Yes.
That's when we're in there boldly. When the cross, when you have picked up your cross, when you've taken up your cross and followed Him, it's finished.
Yes.
Are you hearing me?
Yes.
That's important. When our life has been laid down, it's finished. Mm-hmm. A 29-year-old boy. Boy, a 29-year-old man with two sons and a wife, and he's a good one, good father and a good husband, in the military, in special ops unit, ready to go anywhere in the world and kill the enemy, being trained to do that, has such a tender heart that he calls me, then I can say, he's a good work and it's finished.
Amen.
I'm trying to look at it from my perspective with God's perspective.
Amen.
We're not talking about soft, sissy men or women. We're talking about people that can accomplish anything and have a tender heart. He laid his life down and made a call to me, right?
Amen.
All right. When we know that everything that God has done is good, then I can say, I'm good and it's finished. But first I have to know that I never question God.
Amen.
Because I know He's good.
Amen.
That's right. All the time. Yeah.
It's easy to tell a good guy that I can trust you. A good God, it's easy to say, I trust you too. When we honor Him and His day more than life itself, then God can say it's finished. It's a good work. When what we do honors and glorifies God, God says it's good, it's finished. Now, you understand I'm not asking for perfection, and neither is God.
Amen.
When we know that one word of God will never fail and will never fall, then it's a finished work in our lives. Not one word of God will ever fail or ever fall. I was reading in 2 Kings where the prophet Elijah predicted Jezebel's death, how it would happen, and that she would not remain on this earth. You couldn't even find where she was never buried. She disappeared. And after that happened, and he did that long before it happened. And after that happened, after Jezebel was thrown out of the window and the dogs ate her and there wasn't nothing left, he said, not one word of God ever fails.
Amen.
Now, who was he saying that of? No. No. Who was he quoting? You missed it again. Who spoke the word that Jezebel would fall? Who?
God.
Who?
A prophet
of God. Now, I understand, you're both right. It was God's word, but the man's word is what spoke it.
Yes.
It wasn't written in the Bible. The man spoke it. How in the world did he have the gall to claim that he was right? Because he knew it was God, right? Now, what did he say? Oh, God, that couldn't be you. She would die. See, there's the fool. When a God speaks a word, the fool analyzes it. The wise man accepts it.
Amen.
As good.
Yes.
Right.
As good. Not that Elijah had a bad heart, bad attitude, ate something that day. No, when it was all over and Jezebel was gone, exactly how he predicted it, he said, not one word of God ever fails. You know what keeps me up here speaking to you? I can say not one word of God ever fails.
Amen.
All I have to do is be careful that it's a word from God.
Amen.
These things are accomplished in our lives. When they're accomplished, are they hard? Really not. What I've described to you is not hard. Blood of Jesus, the cross, life laid down. God is good. We give honor to Him. We glorify Him. And we know that His words never fail. Then we are a finished work.
Amen.
And we're good.
Amen.
Now, have we got that down in our lives?
Mm-hmm.
And if not, you need to.
No.
If you haven't given your heart to God, that's the beginning step. That's a good thing.
Amen.
If you don't study the Word, get into it. You'll find out that God's Word never fails. And it doesn't attack you. It promises you.
Right.
What's the next step? Rest. The next step is the rest. How do you know if somebody really believes they're a work of God? They're resting in that.
Amen.
And they'll look at you with some of the craziest looks, like smiling when they're supposed to be crying. They're not all shaky and trembly when, you know. When my mom died in our house, we called my brother and he came in and I never will forget, I'm standing there looking and he begins to sob. And I'm going, what are you sobbing? I didn't ask him. But I'm thinking, what are you sobbing about? Number one, she's not dead.
That's right.
Bible says Christians don't die. They just move on.
Amen.
Number two, I happen to know where she moved to.
Amen.
I know where she moved to. The Bible commands me not to try to communicate with her, but I don't need to. She's busy communicating with her God.
Amen.
She ain't got time to talk to me. I'll get there one day. In the meantime, don't get jealous. And don't yearn for things that God has spoken. What are you sobbing for? You know what he's sobbing for? He thought it was separation. He felt bad because he hadn't been there enough. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who is telling him this? It wasn't the good God saying you're a good finished work. There was another voice coming in.
Amen.
Don't act like that's a bad brother. That's every one of us. I described every one of us.
Exactly right.
If we don't know God's Word, we don't know what He thinks about us, then we think bad about us.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it again. If you don't know what God thinks about you, then you're going to think bad about you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you know what God thinks about you, you can't think bad about you.
Yes.
Well, what does that help? That's everything. That's everything. Why? Because then you reject when people talk bad about you.
Yes.
That's not the main thing. The main thing is you can say, get behind me, Satan, when somebody, something, some voice is trying to tear you down. Nothing can pluck you from the hand of God except you. Except you. You need to remember that. Are you in God's hand?
Yes.
Are you in God's hand?
Yes.
Do you believe what He said about you? You're good, you're finished?
Amen.
When Jesus said, I've accomplished the work. By the way, what was the work that God accomplished? You. Your salvation. Come on. Come on, grab a hold of this. I don't care if it sinks in very quick. Grab a hold anyway. The salvation that God wanted you to have, Jesus completed.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
So what are you doing trying to crucify Him again? Now, that refers to sin. But I think the sin that we need to worry about is not knowing who we are in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
By the will of the Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to feel better about me today than I came in here.
Amen. Yeah.
I already feel better about me. I feel better about you. But that's up to you. So I already had the message in my heart when I had you singing, you're blessed, you're joyful. I knew that what God had in His heart for me, put in my heart.
Amen.
You know who you are? You are who God says you are.
Amen.
Come on. You want me to do that to everybody in here?
Amen.
You know who you are? You are who God says. What does God say that I am? A good work and finished. Well, how do I know that for sure? Make sure that you're pleasing God.
Yes.
That's as simple as it is. Just make sure. When somebody says, you're a dodo, you say, I never heard God say that about me.
It means you shouldn't be saying that yourself.
So I reject that. I think I'll take what God says about me rather than what you say about me. Well, you're colorblind. I never heard God say that about me. I always said that. The military doctors told me, you're colorblind. The FAA doctors told me, you're colorblind. I said, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I never heard God say that. Then I'm talking to the optometrist one day. And he says, something about colorblind. I said, well, they say I'm totally colorblind. He looked at me and he said, what? Yeah. He said, what's that? Red, what's that? Blue, what's that? Green. Oh. He said, you're one of those. You see, I already knew that's what God said. Listen to me. God said that about me a long time ago. Has He said that about you?
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean, one of those? I don't just take that carte blanche, you know. He said, you're a one in a million. I said, well, that I knew. He said, you don't see things like everybody else. I said, everybody that I know says that. He said, you see colors different than anybody else. Do I feel good about that? No, I already knew that. Somebody was just smart enough to recognize it. Now, come on. What position are you on? You in the losing or the winning position? Do you know who you are in God? Are you waiting for somebody to confirm it? Well, here I am. I've just confirmed it this morning. Now, let that be a finished work. You say it's good and it's finished, and it's good and it's finished.
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me. Wasn't as short as I thought it was going to be.
It's good.
It's good.
Is it finished? Don't get me started again. It may not be finished. I praise God for His opinion, His thought process, and His words over you.
Yes.
I can say that because I thank Him for what He said over me. Amen? And I can tell you this, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, no matter what I think from this point forward, if I know that it glorifies God, then I know it's good and I know it's finished.
Yeah.
Let me say it another way. If I know that it doesn't bring God down, just in case there's any questions in anybody's life about what glorifies God, if it does not bring dishonor to God, it is good and it's finished.
Yeah.
That's what honor your parents mean. Don't dishonor them. So if I know it says glorify God, that means don't disglorify if there's any such word.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
All right, praise God. Let's bow our heads. Father, by the way, before I pray, are all hearts clear? Because if there's something that we need to pray with you about, we're more than willing to do that. But I didn't take any courses in altar calls, so I'm not going to do them. You know who draws to God? The Holy Spirit, not an altar call.
That's right.
Amen? If the Holy Spirit's dealing with you, you need to make a public confession or a public statement, or you need us to pray. We'll do that now or after we pray or any time. Quickly? Okay. Not quick enough. Father, we love you.
Yes.
I cherish the time. I cherish the words. And I cherish your people. God, right now, let us not be a soft pastor, a soft teacher. I know that I've done what you've asked me to do this morning. And it's good and it's finished.
Amen.
Now it's up to you, Lord.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, it's up to you to remind. You said you'd remind us of God's Word. I believe that every word that I said will not fall because it was God's Word. It will lift up, it will rejuvenate, it will encourage, and it will strengthen for the work that you have for them to do in the future. They're not going to worry about it. They're not going to be afraid of it. They're just going to do it, knowing that you've already seen it, laid it out, and accomplished it by your promises. We love you, Lord. Heal, save, and deliver from the enemy everybody that has stood in the sound of these words for your honor, for your glory, for the establishment of your kingdom. And everybody that agrees says, amen. Don't forget our little get-together afterwards to have a few snacks. And if that's not enough, which it won't be for me, we're going to go out to eat. You're welcome to go with us. Y'all be dismissed.